May 26th, 2001. Ron Locke.
63.
Right. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, you played in the Polygraph.
Yes, I did.
Okay, go ahead.
In 1963, I come up. That was my first year. Auburn, New York. And at the end of the year, they always bring up, you know, a bunch of ball players. Well, three or four. Me, Dick Selma, Jerry Hensley, and, you know, those guys. And we played in the Polo Grounds, but that was the last year that they had the Polo Grounds. In 64, we went to Shea Stadium. Okay. So, the first guy I ever met in my life was when I went under the stands. There's a long walkway, and there's like a guard shack there. And the first guy I met was Willie Mays' father, because Willie Mays was hanging around at the time. And then, there, of course, I met Casey Stengel, my old man.
When you came up?
This is when I came up.
When you came up from Auburn?
Yes. I came right up from Auburn. Oh, yes. Class A.
Yeah.
I was 18-8, had 250 strikeouts, 60 walks. I had an ERA of 2.92, I think it was. And I batted 343.
What year was this now?
This was 1963.
1963. You had that. Was that your first year?
That was my first year in baseball.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, when I first came out of high school, I never thought that I was good enough to make the pros. But Len Zanke, I think you've heard of him before. Well, he was bird dogging for the Cincinnati Reds at the time. He says, Ronnie, he says, you want to go for a tryout? I says, nah. And then all of a sudden, well, I think it was 2 years later, I think I was just turning 20 years old. And he said, Dave Stenhouse was playing there. He was pitching there at the time.
Pitching where?
At Jersey City. That was the AAA of the Cincinnati Reds. And so he says to me, he says, you know, he says, we've got a kid right here in Wesley that's pitching for the Jersey City, I think it was Reds or something, Red Legs or whatever they called them. But anyways, so he says, Ronnie, he says, you want to get out and try out? I said, yeah. I said, why not? So I go on in, I try out, and I'm throwing. And Dave Stenhouse, of course, he never saw me throw before. And he says to me, he said, Ronnie, he said, man, he said, you throw pretty hard. Of course, I only weighed about 156, 158 pounds, but I was throwing like 91, 92 miles an hour. And so the catcher of their team, that up there, just stood up there at bat, you know, and he said, man, he said, they'd have to give me $50,000 to stand up against you, because I was really throwing hard. So after that was all over, so I go up in the stands, and you know, and I'm me and Len Zanke and I think one of their head scouts or somebody, and then I forgot player rep, and that wasn't a player rep, it was somebody else. It was a minor league rep or something. I forgot what it was. And he said, Ronnie, he says, yeah, you want to play ball? I said, sure. He said, well, hey, he says, I'm what you're asking. I says, well, you know, I never had no agent or anything like that. Back in those days, you know, it was kind of tough. So I said, I don't know, give me what I'm making a month now. I think I was making about $50 a month. And he said, wow. He said, boy, that's kind of high. I says, well, I said, like, you know, you have to make a living. Then all of a sudden, this other guy comes over, and he says, well, how big are you? I says, oh, I don't know. I says, I weigh about 156, 158 pounds, about 5'10". He says, oh, he says, we don't sign anybody unless they're 6 foot. So that ended that conversation. Wow. So I went home. So it was about, I don't know, Len Zanke, he went with the Mets as a scout, or he knew somebody in Auburn, New York that, you know, that he was good friends with. And he says, Ronnie, he says, I get you another tryout. He says, you want to go to Auburn, New York? I says, come on, Len. I says, I already tried out one time. He says, I wasn't big enough. He says, well, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, this is the way it is. He says, you want to go to Auburn, New York? He says, I'll take you there. He says, if you make the team, they pay for all expenses. But if you don't, you don't get nothing. I says, well, all right. I says, seeing that we're going together, So I went up there, and then here's a team that was going for the championship. So Bob Sheffing was he was right at the top of the Mets. So he was there at the time because these guys are going for the championship of the league. So Bob Sheffing says, go down on the sideline. He says, just warm up down there. And this day, I tell you what, I was popping the ball. Oh, I was really coming. And he was looking at me, and he said, wow, he says, not bad. He says, throw a curveball. Of course, I threw a curveball, just like Sandy Koufax, right over the top. He said, wow, got a good curveball. But I had a knuckle curveball, just like Dave Stenhouse. So it was just like a fastball with a knuckle drop right off the table. Of course, he didn't know that. So I went in. He says, go in there and pitch against some of the hitters. He says, okay. So I go in there, and I started throwing against the hitter. First guy, I was throwing the ball by him. I'm saying, well, man, maybe this is not as hard as I think it is. So then the more I pitched, they couldn't even hit me. So then the more confidence I got. Then after that, I was just blowing them away, that they couldn't hit me. He says, you come right over here. He says, we got a contract for you to sign. So I signed and I played, and that was my first year, Auburn, New York, 1963.
So when did you sign? What time of the year?
Well, 60. I think I signed late in 62, okay. But 63 was my first year.
Okay, then you went.
Yeah. Then I went to Auburn. Well, I went to spring training. Then I went to Auburn, New York. But they almost released me because I was small. And I was looking at guys 6'2", 6'4". But I had, I threw good. I was left-handed, and I didn't walk anybody. That was one thing. Now, Dick Cole, he was the manager of Auburn, New York. They were going to release me. Dick Cole says, I want that kid on my club. They looked at him and they said, he'll never make it. Dick Cole says, I want him on my club. Well, I went with him. And I saw a lot of big guys come off that mound before I come off it. Because I don't know how many complete games I had. I had a bunch of them. Then I used to pitch it. Oh, I was a good hitter until I got AAA and the majors. Then you see the slide ball and the sliders and curves and everything else.
Tell me.
What?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Where did you pitch? Which high school? You pitched in high school.
South Kingston High School.
South Kingston, right here.
Yep. Right down in Wakefield. Yep.
And obviously you must have been a pretty good high school pitcher.
Well, yeah. Well, I made All-State 2 years. And then of course, I played in all the leagues around here, Southern Rhode Island, Connecticut League, and then I played in the Morgan Park League. I was most valuable player over there. We played in the Holyoke Mass Tournament, which went to Wichita, Kansas. In the first game, I think I struck out 20, and then the other game, I forgot how many I struck out.
You went to that's the national tournament in Wichita?
Yeah, well, we didn't get there because the team beat me 1-0. But I still, I struck out. So I forgot where the team come from. But they were a good team, too. But they beat me 1-0.
This is out of the Morgan League?
Yeah, out of the Morgan League.
Who did you play for?
I played for EB. I played for Mike Cipone. I don't know.
High school you're doing this?
No. This is when I got out. I was, because between 18 and 20, they asked me if I wanted to play baseball for them over there. So I said, oh, sure, my cousin was playing on the team. We had a hell of a team. But, we had some pro ball players. My cousin caught Danny Sherman. It was for the Chicago Cubs. Good ball team.
This is what year you played for?
That was like 61 and 62.
Now, baseball was still a big thing then, right?
Oh, yes.
Semi-pro and college and factory leagues was still a big thing.
I was playing every night and week. I was playing in the Wesley Twilight League. I played in the Morgan Park League. I played in the Norwich League. I played in the Providence League. When I wasn't pitching, I was playing the outfield.
Can you remember which of those leagues was the best?
Well, I think the Rhode Island Connecticut Twilight League was the best because we had teams from Danielson, Moosic Valley. We had the Frenchtown Farmers, always had a good ball club, always. We had a bunch of ball clubs. I mean, there was Ashaway, there was Hope Valley. Did I say Jewett City, North Stonington, Danielson, Moosic Valley? Well, a bunch of teams. I don't know, it was 8-10 teams in the league, but there were a lot of good teams.
Were these money deals? Were you making money doing that?
No,
you weren't.
Just for pleasure. But I loved to play.
You weren't making money?
No.
The Morgan League wasn't a deal where you could pick up a few bucks?
No, never. No, not in those days. No, you played because you liked to play.
And this is where they found you?
This is where they found me.
They didn't find you in high school. They found you...
Well, they were kind of watching me in high school because I used to go to some of these tryouts they used to have, you know. And then they'd say, oh, well, we'll, you know, keep doing what you're doing. We'll watch it, you know. But really how I got picked up... Well, actually, it was in the Western Twilight League because of Len Zanke.
Yeah.
But Len Zanke used to travel all over. He used to watch all of these teams, you know. Plus, I struck him out 4 times in 1 game, too.
He was a player?
Yeah, he was playing at that time. He was a catcher for, I think it was Ashaway he was catching for. So I fanned him 4 times. And so he really liked me.
Was it difficult that first year as a pro? Do you remember it being really tough, being a tough transition? Or did it come easier?
Well, no, not really. I got, like I said, when I went to Auburn, New York, and I pitched against them guys, and they were going for the championship, That's when I got all my confidence in the world to knew that I could play in that league. You know, I knew I could do it. But before, you know, I didn't have the experience of doing it. And I just, you know, felt like I wasn't good enough, you know.
Yeah. So you went back in 63 and pitched in Auburn?
Yeah, Auburn, New York. That was my first year.
And did it, so you were 18-8?
I was 18-8 that year. Yeah, I should have been like 22-4, because my first game I ever pitched, I lost 2-0. But Dick Cole says, Ronnie, he says, you keep pitching like that, you're going to win a lot of games this week. And I used to pitch. I had one hitters back to back. It was just, I don't know. It was easy to do, I guess. I don't know.
And do you remember who you played for? Who played with you on that?
Oh, boy, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I remember my second baseman, Felstein. He was from New York. He was batting like 323, and they released him because of this Joe Mook. They got out of Louisiana, I think. He was down there somewhere. And this kid here wasn't as good as Felstein. I guess he was a little hot dog, you know, and they didn't like his actions and stuff like that. So they just released him. But he was a good ball player.
Well, you said that you had some other pitchers. You were with other pitchers. But at the end of 63, they took you to New York?
Oh, not pitchers. Well, Dennis Reibant, Dick Selmer, but he was in the Salinas, California League.
Okay.
And he was right-handed. And we had another kid, Jerry Hensley.
That hit where?
Right in
the... No,
right
where? Where?
I think it was in...
Not with you.
No. It was... I'm not sure. Yeah, well, he was playing in the... Boy, it's so long ago. I'm trying to... I think it was Reading, Pennsylvania. I think it was Reading, Pennsylvania, that he got a line drive in the face. And it just busted his cheekbone, bottom and top.
But when you, at the end of 63...
63?
They call you to New York
after New York.
Season's over.
Yes. I went to
Did
New York.
Did you pitch there?
Well, no. No, because, see, they didn't let you pitch, you know, because all they just bring you up to protect you, you know?
Okay.
And that's all they did.
So you,
but we pitched a lot of batting practice, like Dick Selmer and Jerry Hensley. We did the same. They just bring you up to...
But no one else came up with you from Auburn?
No, not from Auburn.
Okay.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
So they changed their mind about you from spring training until Labor Day.
Once they saw me pitch in games, and then they knew. And they knew I could pitch.
And did Auburn win the championship?
Yes, we did.
You won the title.
Yes. We won it all.
And there was...
And that was...
And you Did you pitch in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Well, I pitched against the All-Star game. I pitched against Bob Lee. He come down from the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he was he was with Rochester. And I'll tell you what, boy, he was about 6'4". He was big. He could throw.
Bob Lee?
Big Bob Lee, they called him. Really? He was a wacko.
The spaceman?
Yeah. Well, no. This is another Bob Lee.
Oh, okay.
He played for Pittsburgh, this guy. And he was big, but he could throw. But they didn't want him up there because he was just tapioca. I mean, he'd do pirouettes on the mound and everything else.
The situation of your 1 year you're pitching in the various Twilight Leagues and Sunday Leagues, I guess. Now you're riding buses and it must have been a transition.
Oh, yeah. It was tough for me because, you know, most of the time you play in cities. See, I'm a country boy.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard for me to get used to cities. You know, because I just didn't like cities. But when you got me at the ballpark, well, we were just one of the ball players.
Now, in 64, you...
60. I went with the Mets.
You go to spring training.
I go to spring
training. And they decided to keep you?
Yeah, well, they did it for us, and then they said I wasn't getting my curveball over. So they sent me down to AAA for 2 weeks. Bob Sheffing, he saw me pitch 3 innings in AAA, and bam, right back up. Right back with the Mets again. So then I stayed with them.
So you pitched 3 innings?
3 innings in AAA. Yes, in Dunedin, Florida. That's where the AAA team was. It's 3 minutes down here, bam, right back up again.
So you never really were the triple, you never really pitched the triple A that season, just with the triple A game in spring.
Right, right. So then I come back up and I played in that. But I should have pitched a lot more than I did. Because whatever I did, it's in the record book anyways. They sent me down, I think, for 2 weeks in the middle of the season. No. No, that wasn't in 64.
I stayed with him all year.
But Casey Stengel, all he wanted us to do was sit on the side and with him and say, here, look at these guys pitch. And they had Jack Fisher, Tracy Stollard, Alvin Jackson, those guys. I'm looking at Dick Somer, I says, we can throw as good as those guys, because they're over the hill, you know?
Yeah.
But he wants us to stand there and sit there and watch them guys how to pitch. I said, man, let me out on that mound. But then anyways, we got a chance. I only pitched in 26 games.
Yeah.
But a lot of them were relief. Most of them were relief. I started in, I think, 3 games. But the games that I started in, I did good. And my relief stints were good, because I only had a 350 ERA. And then I think it was either 64, they sent me down. 2 weeks, I think it was, because I wasn't getting my curveball over. But after 2 weeks, they brought me right back up again. And then they, a lot of relief stints.
How many years were you there?
What, in the majors?
In the majors.
Well, I come up in 63,
yeah.
64, and I went to spring training in 65. But 65, now, we had Warren Spahn as a pitching coach. So he wanted... He was just going to be the pitching coach. So we had Tug McGraw on the team, and Warren Spahn, he decides that he wants to be pitcher and pitching coach. So now one of us have to leave. So it was me that left. So I think he was only pitcher for about a month, and then he didn't pitch anymore. But they didn't bring me back up, so that's the way I stayed.
So your one major league season was 60?
Mm-hmm. Really 64. 64. All 64.
Can you remember the first game you pitched in the majors?
Yes, I can. I pitched against Cincinnati. Bobby Tolan. I think Bobby Tolan was there. Yeah. Yes, Bobby Tolan was here. Galen Sisco was pitching. He got in trouble, I think around the fifth inning, somewhere around there. He had the bases loaded, one out. then Casey Stengel brings me in. And my legs were shaking when I did that because that was my first, and there was like 56,000 people in the stands.
This is at Shea.
And this is at Shea. And I never pitched in front of people like that before. But it was nerve-wracking. But anyways, I go out there and pitch. And of course, Bobby Tolan, he's left-handed. And I'm saying, well, I got to get these jitters over. First two pitches I threw him was inside. He pulls him. He ropes him right in the stands. He says, now I got you. And I come right out here from side arm. But I missed. But the next pitch, I stepped right towards him. But I didn't come side arm. I come down over here. But I still had the curveball that shot out like this. He went like this. And I struck him out. And then when I struck him out, that's all it took. Darren Johnson was the next guy up. I threw two fastballs right by him. And I'm saying, boy, I tell you what. All of a sudden, I look. Here comes Casey Stengel waddling out of the dugout. But me and Casey, I didn't really like him. But anyways, that's my opinion. So here comes Hobble and says, okay, kid. He says, good job, good job. He says, we're going to bring a right-hander in there. I'm saying to myself, right-hander? What's the matter with me? I says, I just threw two fastballs right by him. You know, I was saying that to myself. I mean, I didn't say it to him because he probably sent it down. Anyways, I mean, so he takes me out of the game, and I go sit down.
You struck out one.
I struck out one and had two strikes on Darren
Johnson. Two strikes out and another?
Yep, and he brings the right-hander in. I said to him, I said, I got him. I said, don't worry about it. But he takes me right out of the game. I forgot who he Ed Bowder, I think he brought in. I think that's who he brought in. He says, man, give me... You know, give me this guy anyways, you know. But because he was right-handed and I was left-handed, and of course, it didn't matter to me, whether left or right. But you know, back in those days, if there was a left-hander up, which you don't see much today, if left-handers hit you, it was, you know, that wasn't a big thing in those days. You're supposed to get a left-hander out. Today, they knock you over the fence. Well, of course, you can't knock anybody down. Or you can't come close to anybody, you know.
Did you like, did you say you didn't like Casey?
Well, see, and when he was with the Yankees, he was, you know, I mean, he could just take anybody off the bench, and I mean, they hit a home run. He had a hell of a club. But when he was with the Mets, we had nobody. No, we had no hitters. Who did we have? Ron Hunt? Ron Hunt was probably the best hitter we had. At Pringle, he would get something once in a while, base hit here and there. But he didn't, you know, he wasn't doing that good at that time because he was like a rookie himself. But Frank Thomas, he wasn't doing much. And Roy McMillan, he was going. You know, we had Duke Snider in center field, Hot Rod Daniil. Then we had Jumpin' Joe Christopher, which if you got two runs a game, you'd be lucky. But anyways, getting back to the after that, so I think I went to bullpen for about 2 weeks without even pitching. Then all of a sudden, we're in Houston. I think it was Houston. It was either New York or Houston. It was like 15 minutes before the game. He looks at me, he says, Ronnie, here, you're pitching. I said, what? He said, you're pitching. He said, get out there and warm up. I said, we got 15 minutes before the game. So I went out there and I warmed up 15, beat him 4-2. Went back in the bullpen. I don't know how long I was there. Never saw the mound. All I was doing is warming up, trying to have somebody stand up in the bullpen, to, you know, so I could throw some strikes.
So you won your first start?
Yeah, my first start I did, yes. And then I got beat against the Dodgers. I think it was 4-2. I was 4-2 or 5-2. I got beat against them because Joe Christopher, there was a line drive with the guy on first and second, and there was a line drive right to him. I mean, it was about 10 feet over his head, 15 feet over his head. Should have been caught because they're like 20 feet from the fence. He comes running in, the ball goes over his head, and boy, and everybody comes around and says, oh boy. So I got beat that game. And I forgot, I don't know what the other game was.
It must have been nerve-wracking going out to pitch with that team.
Well, because you couldn't make a mistake. You know, you had to, unless you was overpowering. You know, it was tough. Back in those days, they had terrific lineups. I mean, every team had good lineups. You know, you take Cincinnati. Oh, that was a tough lineup to go through.
Was there one hitter, because you didn't pitch a lot, you just said, but was there one hitter you especially liked to face back then? Is there one guy that you remember?
Well, as long as they were left-handers, I didn't mind it. I didn't care who they were, left-handers. Because back in those days, if I got two strikes on you, I had that knuckle curveball. Yeah. That thing would drop right off the table. That's how I got so many strikeouts.
I mean, is there one strikeout you remember?
Probably that Bobby Tolan one.
That was the first batter you faced.
That was the first batter I ever faced, and the bases were loaded. Now, he gets a base hit, I don't know what would happen. You know?
Yeah. Well, you might have been gone, right?
Well, I probably would have, yeah. Well, I was going to the next batter anyway, so...
No, but I mean, you might have been back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. You never know. Well, those days, you never know. But we never had really good pitching either. You know? Choo-Choo Coleman. I mean, not Choo-Choo Coleman. Alvin Jackson. I could almost catch him barehanded. He never threw hard. And Tracy Stollard and Jack Fisher, they'd go about three innings, and that was their stint of a... You know.
Well, they were all men, were they not, when they were there?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They had three, me, Dick Selmer, and Jerry Hensley. I mean, all of us could throw hard. But we couldn't get a chance to pitch. Those are the guys who would be pitching all the time. Then they'd bring in Ed Bowder, Galen Sisko for relief, Larry Banath. You know, Larry Banath was probably, well, I don't know, Galen had a decent record, too. Yeah.
But they were still old men. Bernard had been around.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they were old men, but, probably, well, I don't know, old 28, 30 maybe, that era.
But you were much younger.
Oh, yeah, I was like 20.
Yeah. Yeah. You think maybe that...
But it seems like they would have pitched me a lot more because I was left-handed. You know, that's what I just couldn't understand.
You think maybe the many people have the theory that Casey had lost it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, I think his mind was somewhere else. Because, like, in spring training, get guys on. I mean, he'd come out there, but they had a bench on third base side. He'd go over there and he'd fall asleep. Half the time, he never knew what was going on. But you let a sports writer come over there and talk to him, man, he'd be talking all day long.
And during the season.
During the season.
He'd fall asleep and...
Well, not so much falling asleep during the season, but, you know. But his mind was running, always talking about something else. He'd bring a left-hander up against Sandy Koufax. I mean, come on. A right-hander can't hit him. Why would you bring a left-hander up to
him? Yeah. Who was the pitching coach in that year?
We had so many. Man, you know, I can't think of his name. I can picture his face.
I mean, he must have been, the pitching must have been.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It ramshackle, right?
You know, guys were coming all over the place. You know, it was just I don't know what you call it, but it wasn't not like a ball club, you know, because there were different lineups and different catches all the time, you know. But Choo-Choo, I used to love Choo-Choo. He was comical.
Was he good to pitch to?
He wasn't bad, yes. He called a good game. But I got a little story about Choo-Choo. One time we were playing a night game, right? I'm out on the mound. He's waving his fingers, you know, and he's holding them way back. I says, between his legs, I says, boy, I'm looking in. I says, I can't see his fingers. So I says, the next inning, I says, Choo-Choo, come over here. He says, you've got to get your fingers out by your knees, I said, because I can't see your hands. He says, I can't see your signs. So after that inning was over, we go in, the next inning he comes out, he's got white tape all over his fingers so I could see the signs. I says, okay, George. He was funny. He used to get in a plane. Hawk Taylor, he was a catcher for us, too. And he bought a brand new pair of alligator shoes. Because Choo-Choo was always playing pranks on you. He would sneak down between the seats and he lights your shoelaces on fire. And this is 30,000 feet in the air. And you waddle back, and they used to give you hot, you know, take, break the matches and stick them in this, and light you up and everything else. So, getting back to the other story there. So, I think we ended up in San Francisco somewhere. I don't know where it was. Start getting off the plane. So, oh, the catcher there.
Taylor? Churchill?
Yeah. No. The catcher. When I just said.
Hawk Taylor.
Boy, I'm slipping here. Well, anyways, he gets up. He walks right out of his shoes. He had no shoelaces left in there. And Hawk knew who it was. But he was a nice guy. I used to like him. Chris Cannizzaro was a nice guy. He was a pretty good catcher.
You had three catchers with that.
Oh, yeah. We had Choo Choo, Chris Cannizzaro. Oh, I forgot. There was another catcher. I can't remember.
You had always played with good teams, had you not? I mean, in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And in these various semi-pro leagues, even your first league, first Auburn was a good team.
Yes.
Now this is a horrible team. Oh,
I looked at some of those guys and I said to myself, I said, I can play the outfield as good as some of these guys. Because I know I could. But I used to play with a kid, Eddie Gordon, from O'Reilly up here. A 6'3" left-hander. Good ball player. Good as anybody that I saw on that team. Probably a few more guys, too. But, you know, some guys just seem to be at the right place at the right time. I don't know. Like I'm saying, you know, I almost got released, but the guy, the coach there, the Auburn team, Dick Cole, he said, I want him on my team, see? Now, I could have got released just as easy as not. Yeah. But Stubby Obermeyer.
Oh, boy.
Remember him? Yeah. For Detroit? Yeah. He loved me. And Yogi Berra loved me. He said, Ronnie, he said, if I was coaching this team, he said, you would be in there every 4 days until you showed me that you couldn't pitch. And Stubby Obermeyer said, boy, he said, how come you didn't sign with us? I said, well, I thought the Mets were a young team, you know, and I figured, you know, I had a good shot. But I really didn't, you know.
You could have signed with somebody else?
Oh, I could have signed with Chicago Cubs, Detroit Tigers,
when was
Washington,
this?
In 1962. When I played in the Holyoke Mass tournament, there was a lot of scouts there because there was some top-notch ball players that was playing in that tournament. And then this Washington Senator scout saw me, and he took me aside after. He said, why? He said, you play with anybody? He said, have you signed with anybody? He said, boy, we'd like to sign you. I said, no. I said, I've already signed with the New York Mets. I said, yeah, I'm playing with them next year. So that ended that.
Oh, I see. You had signed with the Mets, and then after signing with the Mets, you played in this tournament.
Yes. But I hadn't played pro ball until that following year. When training, when I already signed the contract.
So you would signed in Auburn when you went to that tryout. Yeah. Then you came back. And
then Stubby Obermeyer, he was the manager of Watertown, New York.
Yeah.
And they had a good ball club. And he saw me pitch because I used to beat that team all the time. He said, Ronnie, he said, boy, he says, I wish that I'd have known me. He says, boy, I'd love to have you play for us.
But you really thought the Mets were the place to go?
Yes,
because
I really did, because I thought, well, they were a young team. You know, I mean, they're upcoming. I figured, boy, here's a chance for me to really prove myself, you know. But evidently, it wasn't really. You know, I mean, I guess it's not only me, but other guys too, you know.
Yeah, but still, you got that 1 year, right?
Yeah. That was fun. But I was lucky. I didn't think I was going to make it when I first signed. You know, I didn't think I was good enough. Because remember, I don't know if you know Artie Corrett, they come out of he come out of school, he graduated the year I come in, and he played for, I think it was Baltimore, and he made it up there, but he hurt his arm, and he was good, he was left-handed.
Did he came from the same school you did?
Yeah, same school.
What's his name?
Audie Court.
And did he get to the majors?
Well, yes, he played in Baltimore. Yep.
And was...
Yeah. But he hurt his arm. I don't know how he hurt his arm.
Okay. But he's the same school that you went to?
The same school. The year that he graduated, that's the year I come in. Yep.
Now, 95, you're in spring training, right? Or in 65.
Yeah, 65 in spring training.
You get back to spring training?
Yep.
You must figure you're going back to New York.
Well, I figured I had it, you know, I had a good shot. But, I don't know, I thought I did good in spring training too. But like I'm saying, Warren Spahn, he took me right out of the picture. Because he wanted it, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's one of the best pitchers I've ever seen. And, but he just figured, I guess he had something left in him or something, I don't know. But when he wanted to be pitcher, I just took a back seat. And then I did good in AAA, I figured I was hoping somebody would pick me up, you know. But when you're small, it's tough, you know.
Where'd you go that year? Where'd you pitch in
60? Oh, God, I don't know where. I got traded a couple of years, too.
How long did you pitch? I mean, how long did you stay?
I got out in 71. I hurt my shoulder. I played 2 years with the Moroccan Brewers, 70 and 71. And that was in the AAA club. But you give me 5 days rest and I could probably go 4 or 5 good innings for you, you know? But you
stayed playing.
To 71.
To 71? Yes. Most of that in AAA?
Yeah. Most of it's all AAA.
And you don't remember where you were?
Oh, Jesus. I got traded. Well, Buffalo, New York was one time. Then we moved. We went to Jacksonville, Florida. Then we moved from there. We went to Tidewater. And then I think I got traded for Pumpsy Green. I'm not sure. And I went to Memphis, Tennessee in the Texas League. They played out there. I was shuffling around.
All trying to get back. I mean,
all trying to get back.
That was the idea.
Yep. Trying to get back.
It was...
It's not easy.
And you figure it was your size? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was. But I could throw as hard as anybody. Well, not anybody, but like Nolan Ryan. I mean.
Was there a point when you knew it was over? Did something happen telling you it was over?
Oh, in 71. Oh, yeah. When I fell in that outfield in Syracuse, New York, and I hurt my shoulder, but it didn't feel like I hurt it,
Tell me that. What were you doing?
I was just running my sprints. Me and this kid, Ron Paul, he was another left-hander. But they just put a new outfield in, and it rained for about 4 days, and the grass was sticking up. And we were just running our sprints, and we were just jabbing back and forth, you know? And my foot caught underneath one of the slabs of dirt, and I just went right up and over, down on my shoulder. But it didn't, I played football and everything else. But it didn't feel like I hurt my shoulder at all. So the first inning, Dick Cole, which was our manager. Not Dick Cole, but, he was a catcher for the San Francisco Giants a long time ago. I played with so many people. Well, I can't think of his name anyways. So he was the manager. He said, Ronnie, you wanted me to get up. I went to throw like this. I couldn't even reach for it. I couldn't even reach the plate. I said, oh, man. And then I kept trying. And I looked at Dick. I said, not Dick. I keep bringing up Dick. He was there.
Where was this team? What team was it?
This was Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. You were with Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Florida. That's the AAA of the Mets this time, because they moved about 4 different places. But anyways, No. Later. Go outside. Well, anyways, I'm going to get back here.
Well, you couldn't throw the ball?
Oh, I couldn't throw the ball. And I looked at him and I says, Randy, I can't reach the plate. He said, well, what's wrong with you? I says, I fell in the outfield, but it didn't feel like, you know, anything was wrong. But you know what I did? I just ripped, when I did that, I just ripped the skin right from the bone. I just tore it. And I went to a clinic out in Columbus, Ohio for about 2 years. And they said, Ronnie, says, the only thing you can do for this, he says, I can't do any more for you. He says, the only thing you can do is just rest. Just rest your arm until it heals all back up. But it ate, I got right out here in the front and it, oh.
The same day, this was the same
yeah.
day.
The pain that went through my shoulder, I says, oh, I couldn't, you know, and I was having such a great year too. I was like 7-2 with a 115 ERA. I was throwing, I mean, he was pitching me all the time. I was throwing 7-inning ball games. And, you know, I was doing great until that happened. And then, boy, after that, he was just downhill.
The fact that you were a left-hander and could, I assume you could still strike guys out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did that have something to do with the fact that you were, that they kept you around?
Probably, I don't know. At least I could face left-handers, you know.
Yeah.
I could go in and pitch 2 or 3 innings, but that's what most of my AAA was relieving, you know.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's important.
Could stop you. Yeah, because I had good control. I didn't want many guys. I made you hit the ball. And, but, you know, when the writing's on the wall,
So after this 71 incident,
mm-hmm.
In Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Then you knew it was time to.
Oh yeah, I just walked out because I knew they were going to release me anyways. You know, it's. I mean, you can see it. It's right there.
Yeah. This was when. This was like in the middle of the year. Or?
Well, it was like spring training.
Oh okay.
This was in spring training, 71.
So,
we were in Arizona, and like I said, you know, I go out there and I pitch good batting practice. Playing a game, you know, I could go five, maybe six good innings, but then I'd need 5-6 days rest, you know.
But this, where'd you get hurt?
Right here.
No, where? What city?
Oh, Syracuse, New York.
Oh, you were, so you came up with the team.
Mm-hmm.
You were playing at Syracuse,
yes.
Or Jackson.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And you got hurt.
Well, this is when I was with the Mets, I hurt my shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I got traded, I forgot who I got traded for, but they come to the Mets. And then I went out there.
Okay, so the 71 injury didn't end your career?
Not, well.
You pitched after that, after you fell in the outfield?
Well, yeah. But that was like 70, early 70 that I hurt my shoulder.
Okay.
But I stayed around, you know, pitch here, there, you know, a few innings and whatever I could do, you know. But the hanging around was just, that's not the way I wanted to play ball, you know. Plus, I was married at the time, and it was getting traded here and there, and it was getting to be a hassle, you know. So I said, the heck with it. So I just went in and I told him, I says, hey, I didn't want to, but.
So you didn't leave the Mets. You left somebody else.
Yes, Milwaukee.
You were pitching.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah, the AAA is Milwaukee. Yeah.
And then you came home and went to work at Pfizer?
Yeah. Well, yes. Well. Yeah, 71 I went to work at Pfizer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you pitch after that? Some people say you pitched here and there.
The only reason why I got a job at Pfizer, because I could play ball, and they had a ball team over there. They asked me if I wanted to play, Joe McDonald. I said, sure, I said, I'll play. But I knew I had a sore shoulder, you know.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, you know, I'll do what I can. He said, oh, never mind. Well, that year, nobody wanted to play ball. So, I had a job. That's what I was looking for, the job.
You didn't have to play.
No, I didn't have to play.
But he wanted you to play.
He wanted me to, he thought they were going to have a team. But I guess nobody wanted to play that year.
Okay.
So, I still stayed on. And I worked there for 28 years.
Yeah, it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out pretty well.
Can you
remember, and I tell you, they're tough to get, because I tried to get one in the past couple of days. Can you remember your first baseball card? The reaction to being to having a baseball card.
I think it was in 1964 when I signed a contract with Topps Bubblegum. And one of my cards was in the packet. And I said to my wife, I said, look at this. I said, I've got a card. Then my rookie card come out with, matter of fact, I got him right in here, too. Matter of fact, this kid went from major leagues right down to Class A, broke his hand, released him.
Oh, you got somebody else on a rookie card?
Yeah.
The best player you ever faced was Frank Reynolds.
Best hitter I ever faced in my life. Yeah. That guy used to tear me up. I used to pitch him inside, outside, curveballs, whatever. He used to just stroke me. If I pitched outside, he'd hit the right field. If I pitched inside, he'd pull me to right, left field. I couldn't get him out.
You remember? I mean, you gave up 3 home runs as a major leaguer. 3 guys hit home runs, according to the Baseball Encyclopedia, off you.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember any of them?
Whoa. There's a guy, a guy from Philadelphia hit one off me. Oh, boy, I can't think of his name, though. Boy, he was a good ball player, too. Isn't that something I hope? Names slide by you. But I don't know the other ones.
I just wondered if somebody even...
Triple A, the only one that I know is Jim Cotton, boy, in Triple A. He played for the Columbus Clippers. He hit one in Jacksonville over the top of that sign out there. I think that's still going on the freeway.
What was his name, Cotton?
Cotton. Well, he was about 6'6". He had a wheelhouse about this big. And I tell you what, you get it in there, and he could crank it. I mean, the straightaway center field was 410. And the sign had a big sun sign out there. If you hit a home run, it lit all up.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's still going. Because, I mean, he had it over
the top.
That's
the longest anyway.
Well, that's the longest I've ever had. Yeah. Yeah. But I can't...
I don't know that any would be...
I remember we played the Sandlot game against the Yankees, and Joe Pepitone hit one off me on the upper deck, second deck in Shea Stadium. And it was a waste pitch right up around his head. He just bang, like that.
Really?
It shouldn't even be, it was a waste pitch. just, it was a waste pitch, all right.
So you pitched in that, what, that Mayor's game?
Oh, yeah.
That
what
it was? You did pitch in that.
Yeah, against Mickey Mantle and I. He hit a double play against me.
Really?
I said, well, that was something.
Yeah. And these are like special memories, though.
Yeah.
You do
pitch
to Mantle. No one can take that away from
you. Oh, yeah. Hank Aaron and all those. Oh, yeah. I played against them all.
You know, you don't remember specifically what Aaron did.
We got a new bedroom set. All right.
Yeah, I know. Where's the one that's all in the...
Oh, I got them in there. Do you want those? Yeah.
Who's that? This is the rookie card?
Steve Dillon. That's Steve Dillon. When I come to the major leagues, we were both at the major leagues at the same time. He went down to AAA, down to AA, down to A, and I guess he got bombed down there. He smacked the wall, broke his hand, and they released him.
Oh.
But I wish I was on with Tom Seaver or somebody.
Yeah. But he came up with you.
Yeah, he's a left-hander too. But he was already there. He was already with the Mets.
Okay.
I think he was up in like 62. I think he was with the Mets at 62, but he was having a heck of a time.
Okay, this is your record at you went from Class D to the majors.
Mm-hmm. Class A.
Well, this says D.
D? Well, it could be. Well, maybe it was D at the time.
D at the time. We're
probably it was.
And you were in 26 games, 217 mm-hmm. innings. So you pitched a lot of innings.
Yes.
18-8.
Mm-hmm.
249 strikeouts.
Yes.
And
you only
walked 60.
Yeah.
294 ERA. So that was a good year.
That year I was having, I did good in AAA too. But see, they don't put none of that stuff on AAA.
Yeah, this is, and this is the... now, it says here in 64 you pitched in Buffalo.
See, yeah, for about two weeks. Remember I told you I went down for about 2 weeks? Yeah.
You pitched in nine games?
Yeah.
That was in the middle of the year?
Yeah, I think it was about the middle of the year, yeah.
You went down and
then brought me right back
and
up.
And came back up?
Yeah. But that Buffalo Stadium, that was the old one. I mean, right field, the fence looked like it was about right here. That thing was short. I mean, off the handle would be in the...
A war memorial?
Oh, that one. Yes.
Yeah.
You've got those in the
That was... he says here you earned your first major league victory against Houston.
Yes.
In the nightcap of a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game you started.
Mm-hmm. I only started three games.
Yeah.
But Casey, he always threw the ball to me. I'm sitting in the, at the locker. I got my feet up on the locker. All of a sudden, he throws me the ball. He says, "Ronnie, you say you're starting against the Dodgers." So okay. So I go out there and warm up, and I start against the Dodgers. But I used to do a lot of pitching against Chicago, and I used to do good against them. Ernie Banks and those guys, Ron Santos and those guys. Oh yeah.
Why would you?
That's why I couldn't understand why he wouldn't. What I did good. And why wouldn't he want to stop me? Because I was young, I was left-handed. You know, do it until that I prove that I can't do it.
Do you ever think that had you signed with somebody else, it would have been different?
I think if I had signed with Stubby Obermeyer, the Detroit Tigers team, I think it would have been different. Because when they bring you up, they put you in there, and you play until you can't prove it. You know, you can pitch.
And do you ever think that maybe it wasn't good, Ron, that you went from Class D?
Probably. I was thinking about that, too. Yeah. They should have probably gave me maybe a year in AAA.
Yeah.
You know? To see what it really... Because I'll tell you what, that year, Syracuse, who did they have a team? They had Willie Horton, Ray Oyler. I can't remember all the guys on that. I think nine guys went off that team to the major leagues that year.
What year?
I think it was 64. 64, that 2 weeks I went down there, what a team they had. But in AAA, back in those days, every team, and they didn't even win it. The team from Jacksonville, the St. Louis Cardinals, AAA club won it.
But Buffalo was the Mets team that year?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
The first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you couldn't even play up there. Yeah. It was cold.
Toronto. But you started 64 with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to Buffalo and then
came back. Came back up,
Okay. And the other guys that you pitched with, the other guys that Casey kept...
Dick Selma.
Dick Selma. He did all right, I guess.
Dick Selma, he played a few years. And then, I don't know, something hurt his shoulders.
Yeah. But the other guy's name was Hensley?
Henson, but no, he didn't, because he got that... Yeah. Smack in the jaw, and that ended him.
Yeah. Yep. What was the reaction back here?
Oh, as far as people?
Yeah.
Oh, they loved it, because I used to give them tickets when they came to the games. One time there was like 12 of them from Wakefield. My buddies were down there. They all came. Oh, yeah, my uncles. Oh, yeah. It was a big deal around here, because who makes the major leagues around here?
Yeah.
Right? The guy from No Man's Land.
What was, were you married with the Mets in the when you
Not when I first come up, no.
Okay, I was going to say.
I got married in 66.
What did you, what were you making with the Mets?
Oh, that was, minimum was
$7,500. Yeah, and that's what you were making.
Well, I got some bonuses from coming up. I made about 15 grand, 16 grand that year. That was it.
Yeah. Was that big then?
That was big money. Tom Seaver. I see Tom Seaver had 3 good years and only made what, $30,000.
Yeah. So you must have thought you were headed for a great thing.
Oh, I did. I really did. Once I made it up there, I said, I had the confidence, and I thought I could do it. But you can't pitch like that. You can't pitch a game and go in the bullpen for 2 weeks and expect to come out and throw strikes and release it, can't do that. Because the more I pitched, the better control I had. You know what I'm saying? Well, I might have slowed up on the fastball a little bit, because a lot of times if I overpowered myself, the ball would take off. Mm-hmm. They thought I was going to be another little Sandy Koufax, because I would throw exactly the same way with him, you know, that he did. The fastball would rise. I'd get you on a high fastball because you couldn't let it go because the curveball would drop, you know? And then when I got two strikes on you, I had that knuckle curveball. Oh, then I had a little herky-jerky motion. You know, you used to watch my body. You didn't watch the ball. Before you knew it, the ball would be by, you know, right by you.
Did Zanke keep up with you?
Oh, yeah. He always came to spring. Matter of fact, he came to spring training quite a bit. And, you know, he helped out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Len was a good guy. You know, if it wasn't for him, you know, I wouldn't have been playing ball.
Do you watch baseball now?
Well, somewhat I do. I don't watch it too much. Because to me, I mean, the guys are so big and strong today. I mean, everybody gets paid for the home run. There's no bunting anymore. There's not much hit and run anymore. You know, stealing. You take the Dodgers, Murray Wills and those guys back in the day, they'd steal your blind. Mm-hmm. You know, they would win games 1-0. Today, you get a guy on, they don't bunt him over the second. They try to hit the home run. You know, they pop up, they ground out.
How about coming inside? In the early 60s, you could still come inside. I mean, the hitter just realized you were going to do that.
That was part of the game. You know, and I don't like, because I used to love to hit. You know, and I don't like the designated hitter. Because the pitcher is part of the game. And I used to love to be right in there with them. You know, have hitting practice like they do, whatever they did, I felt part of the game.
Did you ever think, and you say you were a pretty good hitter.
I was a decent hitter.
Do you think maybe, could you have made it as a hitter?
That I don't know every day. Okay. I don't know. Well, forget now. You get a guy to bat 300, 325, 340. He's facing the best starting pitches there is. And if you can hit that, you're a good hitter. Matter of fact, you're an excellent hitter.
And you hit well at Auburn?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 343, I think it said, didn't it?
Yeah.
I used to come in and pitch hit. Oh, yeah.
And you were, I assume you're just like a spray hitter? Like you put the ball in play?
For my weight, you throw me the fastball, I'd tag it off the wall on you.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and all of this came from playing here. All of this was just natural ability, or was it a coach?
Evidently, Coach Warner Kinney down in South Kingston, he did a good job. But, you know, in high school, there's a lot of things you have to learn yourself. I like the knuckle curveball. I learned that myself.
You had that in high school?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I knocked my cousin Cole one day. He called for it. He's stooping down like this. And when it come in, it come down, it hit the plate and come right up underneath them, just laid him right back. Well, I used to get hit. Orlando Cepeda, he hit a ball. Now, Orlando Cepeda, he has two different stances. See, these are things you got to watch out for. See, if he's got his straightaway like this, he's looking for the inside pitch. So you better not throw him an inside pitch because he was a good hitter. Now, if he stood like this, if he opened up facing touch first, you better not throw him an outside pitch. I tell you what, he'd kill you. But this day here, he hit a line shot through my legs. All I saw was a blur. If that thing had ever hit me, it would have killed me. That's how fast it went through there. But I used to ask my wife, I used to get bullied. There's nothing that got by me. I was a good fielding pitcher. That's one thing I can say I was. Because you bunt the ball, I followed through, I was always ready. Because I was like a cat on that mound. And nothing got through me. I used to take it off the chin, the chest, or whatever.
You keep talking about your cousin? Was your catcher in high school?
Oh, my cousin Danny.
He was your catcher. Yeah, he was your catcher in high school. And you say you played with a brother?
Oh, no. No, not my brother.
Oh.
No. But then there was another kid, Sackey Briggs, which he signed for, I think he signed for Detroit, too.
This is out of your high school?
Out of high school.
So that? this High school is a...
We had some good ball players.
Yeah. So, it was established...
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why I went there. Because I knew it was a good baseball school.
Oh, you mean you had a choice?
Oh, yeah. At the time, Chero wasn't in here. When I graduated from grammar school, Chero wasn't up yet. So I had a chance of going to Westerly or South Kingston. So I took South Kingston because of the baseball program they had.
Okay. But when you got out of high school,
mm-hmm.
you figured baseball was over except the...
Yeah, just playing around here.
Just,
yeah, just different leagues. But the Morgan Park League, I had a point... 0.24 ERA.
Okay.
Did you know a guy named Lou Job?
Lou Job, yeah.
We hooked up one day. I used to put me and him to play on the same team for EB. No, nobody could beat us. But then he went to another team. Me and him hooked up in the duel one day, but I beat him 1-0.
Really?
Yeah, he was a good pitcher.
He went
AAA for the Yankees, I think. We had a good team. That was a good team.
What?
At EB.
With him and Oof. Him and you.
Yes. And my cousin Danny, and they had the first baseman, I can't think of his name, but the shortstop was in the pros. Oh, yeah, we had...
Didn't Joe go to pitch for a team called the Citizens or the Polish something?
Probably. I don't... They had the Vagabonds and...
Yeah, but the Norwich... The Norwich Sits or Sims? Norwich Sims, they called them. That was when I was at Mitchell. That would have been like 58 or 59. That's when you were pitching.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. So.
Mm-hmm. We used to have some good games. There was some strong team. Danielson, Connecticut, in this Southern Rhode Island League. Boy, what a team they had. They were good fastball hitters. But I used to get them because I had the good curveball. Yeah. Waste the fastball, get the good curveball.
So it was really the semi-pro, Ron. Where they found
I would say,
you.
Yes.
Where Zanke found
you. Yes. Yep.
So.
But there was a lot of good teams around here, too.
Do you kind of feel sorry that that's not true anymore? That all these, this kind of baseball is not being played anymore?
You know, I don't know, there's so many sports for kids today, you know, you've got the soccer. Soccer's taken a lot of lot of guys away from playing ball. I understand that they just started a team up in Westerly again. I guess they're playing in the Providence League or whatever it is. But it's a shame. I mean, everywhere when we were kids, everywhere we went, a field, always a bunch of kids out there playing ball. You don't see that no more.
Yeah.
Kids have got a brand new car. They got a girlfriend. They got to have a job because they got to pay for the new car.
Yeah, but when only 40 years ago, there were all of these teams that you could play on. There were town teams and industrial teams.
But you can't get sponsors anymore. Even softball. I know the softball teams. You can't get sponsors for softball teams.
That's too bad.
Yes. Yep.
Right. Because this is what you were a product of.
And today, there's so many baseball teams that, good God, all you have to be is halfway decent and you could probably make it, you know? Or go to the minor leagues anyways and then try out and see if you're good enough. But now they come right out of college, right? Which I thought that's the way it'd go anyways, like football, basketball, you know?
Would you change anything? As far as what you did?
Boy, that's hard to say. I might have signed for a different team. I don't know. You know? But who knows these things until after the fact? You know? I mean, these guys say, oh, yeah, I wish, you know, I had you sign, you know, after they see you play. But before that, I was always small, you know? Until somebody took a chance on me.
Right, but I'm thinking that one major league season hurt you as a pro, not pitching a whole lot.
Probably, yes. They should have left me in AAA. That's what they should have done. If they knew that they weren't going to pitch me, I should have been down there playing, yes. I'll agree with that 100%. Even in Double A. Double A is good too. Look at all the ball players that come up from Double A. Double A is good ball. Good ball.
Do you remember? Oh, you were on the 40 man. That's why you were.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you yes. went to spring training in 64.
Yes.
They were protecting you.
Yes.
You were on the 40
yes.
man.
Mm-hmm.
So you just went to New York. You had to go with them. You were on that 40 man roster.
Well, I went. Well, no, because they cut back. They got to go back to 25 guys. And they
bring
you to New York.
But you were on the major league roster
yes.
by the end of the year.
Yes. I was on the major league roster right from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? On the 40 man roster.
You were, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In 64. Yeah, they sent
okay.
me a major league contract.
Yeah, all right, that's what I'm saying.
So, you know what I'm saying? So I go down to spring training. But now from 40 men, they cut you back to, 40 men. I don't know how many guys they got in spring training.
Yeah.
But then they, you know, they got down to the 25-man roster. So
yeah.
then I...
But, yeah, okay. But you, I, that's why you were in spring training with
mm-hmm.
the Mets in 64.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. why you were with the big
yes.
club.
Construction.
Right. Yep. And they wanted to farm you out.
Yep. And then when they saw me pitch, because I had a good spring training, and of course the Mets, they needed pitching badly.
Yes.
You know, as a matter of fact, they needed hitting badly too. Whatever, you know. I mean, like I said, if you went out there and got two runs a game, you better not make many mistakes.
Were there? Did you have any particular friends on this team? I mean, do you remember?
In the Mets?
Yeah.
Well, me and Ed Cranepool got together pretty good, got along good together, because we used to win together. And Ron Hunt, I used to like Ron Hunt. We used to get along. Yeah, you know, I get along with them all, you know.
Okay.
It was no problem.
Okay. Traveling
what?
Didn't bother you, did bother you? Or like you say, you
well,
didn't like cities.
New York, it was too fast for me, you know. Because I come right from the country, I'm a young kid, and I go to New York City. And boy, that's an awful turnaround.
Yeah.
That's a big turnaround for anybody.
Where'd you live?
I live right here. Well, not in this house, but over
no,
in
No, where did you live?
Right across from LaGuardia in the Travelers Motel. Right across.
Oh.
Matter of fact, you could almost see Shea yeah. Stadium.
Okay. So that's some transition, man, for a guy
well,
who
lived. Well, when we first got there, we used to live downtown in Manhattan. And we used to have to take the subway. Oh. I couldn't believe what went on there, because I was not used to that. And plus, you know, I didn't. Of course, now, today, I don't mind flying. But back in those days, you know, it was kind of scary, you know? And I didn't like flying. But I did it. But we used to have some rough flights. Whoa.
And in those post-major, those years after the majors, you know, there's no memory that you have in that playing in the high minors that stands out.
Well, just the one, well, yeah, I can say that because I pitched a no-hitter against Pawtucket Indians up here in Double A. And I played for Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Played for whom?
Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
And that's in the Eastern League?
Yes.
You pitched in the Eastern
yeah,
League?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you pitched a no-hitter
yeah.
against
well, it was the Indians.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Indians, Double A team. Up here
I mean, that's pretty close to home.
Yeah.
Were there folks there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, well, everybody went around here. They knew I was pitching. Yeah.
Can you remember anything about that game?
No, the only thing... No, I was throwing good. And, you know, we played with... I mean, it was a couple of good catches. Bernie Smith, he made a heck of a catch off the wall that saved the game, too, you know, the no-hitter. But little things like that, you know.
Well, there's always, in every no-hitter,
well, yeah.
you look, you find one
yes.
great defensive.
Yeah. And I'm sure there was probably a few more little balls that were hit, that, you know, good stops, you know.
You know, just, you don't remember what year that was?
It might be 65. I'm not sure.
Okay. And you remember guys that you played with in those years that came up. Did you ever play with Seaver?
Oh, Triple A. Oh, what was it, 66? Triple A in Jacksonville, Florida. We had Tom Seaver, Guzman, Tug McGraw, Chuck Estrada. It was me. I was doing good. Nolan Ryan.
All on the same team?
All on the same team. We were 25-5 the first month. Then we had Lou Klimchak. I don't know if you knew him. He was a Cleveland Indian. He played first base for us. Oh, yeah. What a ball team. And then everybody started going here, there, and all of a sudden. But we did win the playoffs that year, though. But we didn't.
So you were on the staff with these guys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, Kuzman's a good friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Wait, yeah. This was 66?
66. We used to room together and everything else.
Did you?
I've roomed with Tom Seaver, too.
Did you know that Seaver was going to be what he was going to be?
Oh, sure. You could see it. When he came out of AAA, when he came out of college, he was 13-13 in Jacksonville. But just the way he threw the ball, kept the ball down, you knew that he was going to be. Even Kuzman, because the ball was always low.
Yeah.
Always. You could just tell, you know. Oh, yeah, those. Tom Seaver, boy, he'd sort of bat right off in the hand. His ball used to move.
So you were... That's another deal. You were like a year ahead. Maybe had you come with these guys.
Yes.
You know?
Matter of fact, I had a better record than Tug McGraw did. But they took Tug McGraw instead of me. And then he come up... somebody showed him how to throw that screwball, and that made him a great pitcher.
You mean in 66?
66.
In Jacksonville, you had a better record than...
Yep. Yes,
than
I did.
McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, somewhere along the line, you got traded to Milwaukee.
Yep. I don't ask me who I got traded for. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. So, and that's when you were with Milwaukee when you finally decided it was time to...
Yeah. Well, one year I got... I don't know what year it was. 65? 67? One time I got traded for Puncy Green. He went to the Mets. And then I got traded for Dallas Green, too. But these guys had bad backs and bad arms or something. But they went back to their teams, and I went back to the Mets. But I don't know what
But the other team was Milwaukee. You pretty much were in the Mets high minors.
Yep.
So you saw these
Most
guys.
Most of the time I was with the Mets.
So you saw these guys all coming through.
Oh, yeah.
Seaver and Kuzman.
Oh,
and,
yeah. They were.
And you were still around. You were still pitching with Mets, with the Miracle Mets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What was that, 69?
Oh, 69. Yes. Yeah. We won the Triple-A, not the league, but in 69 we won the playoffs in Triple-A in Jacksonville.
Really?
Yes, yeah. But that's the one I wanted to be on, 69 Mets.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, the way I was going, I was like 7-2 and 115 ERA, boy. I was throwing the ball good. And I figured any time, boy, they're going to give me that call, but
that
never got it.
That was in 69?
Mm-hmm.
You were 7-2?
7-2.
And got hurt? You didn't get hurt?
The next year I got hurt.
Oh. Okay.
My 70.
Okay. So it's... But it worked out well for you. In the end?
Yeah. Well...
Got a good job?
If it wasn't for baseball, I'd have probably never had the job at Pfizer. Which was a good job. Because I worked myself right up to a foreman over there, and, you know.
But I used to
be David Dyke's boss at one time.
Yeah. But I think the important thing is that you came out of those leagues the way they used to be, that town team and that industrial league, and you know, it was...
Yeah. And I never really thought I had a chance of making the major leagues either. Never in the world. But I always had it in my heart that I wanted to play, you know.
Yeah. This is a Casey story.
We went from San Francisco to Houston one night, and it took us about 6 hours to get to Houston. Now, the sports writers and him were always sitting in the back. So they just asked him one question. That was it. And all you could hear all night long was Casey just then, but talking. Nobody could get a word in edgewise. It was all him. And that's what he loved. He loved to be in that limelight. But there's many more stories about that guy.
Well, tell me some.
Oh.
Now that I got in serious trouble anyway.
Well, like the one in Florida, you know, he's sitting on the bench there and falling asleep and all that, you know. But we went into St. Louis, and we had a day game, the next game, the next day. And of course, the Mets were in there. Of course, I forgot who was singing there at the hotel. As soon as Casey walked in, of course, Casey went in, I guess he was going to have a drink at the bar. So as soon as he walked in at the bar, man, everything stopped. Casey just took right over. I mean, the show stopped and everything else. All I could hear was Casey. That's the way it was till about 12 o'clock at night.
Really?
I forgot who was singing, but I don't think he liked it.
That great mind that produced all those great Yankee teams was gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I think so. Because, to me, I think he was a little senile in those, when he took over the Mets.
Yeah.
Because all I think, well, of course, it's my opinion, all he wanted to do was talk to the press, do this and do that, you know? I mean, I don't think his mind was on baseball.
It wasn't, and you don't remember lots of conversations.
Oh, no. Casey, he could talk for a year without stopping to think.
Yeah, but I mean, talking to you, talking to the kids.
No, just like I said, you know, he used to want to sit on the side of him, and he'd say, yeah, see how this guy pitches, see how that guy pitches, see what he throws in this certain situation. And of course, you know, I'm saying to myself, well, I wish I was out there in his place, you know?